Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back in on the drive. Thanks so much for listening on 610 Sports Radio and the Radio.com app. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by John Kurtz in Manhattan to talk about the top story of the day, which is Kansas State and Wichita State have agreed to a four-game basketball series. We'll get to that coming up in about 15 minutes. But before we do that, I think we have found the first thing that Patrick Mahomes is potentially not good at. Now, I am a believer that everyone has a Patrick Mahomes in their life. There was that kid in high school that could just do everything. He was on the basketball team. He was on the football team. He ran track. He was in debate. He got all the girls. And he was just better than you at everything. Like, you thought you could beat him in NBA Live. He beat you in NBA Live. You never could get the better of this individual. That person seems like Patrick Mahomes. Like, I'm sure there's somebody in high school that maybe when they were freshmen, they were probably better than Pat. And then by the time that they were a sophomore, Pat was then on the way to being headed to Texas Tech. So I'm looking at the American Century Championships, and your favorite announcer, Tony Romo, he is even money to win the American Century Championship. And then I'm looking down the list, and I'm like, all right, well, I see, you know, Tim Wakefield on here. He's at 300-1.
Tim Wakefield? I haven't heard that name in a while.
I'm seeing your guy, Adam Thielen. He's 50-1. I'm seeing Joe Buck. He's 75-1. And I see Jerry Rice. He's 150-1. And a name you haven't heard in a while, Vinny Del Negro. He's on the list as well. He's at 150-1. Well, Pat's in this thing. He's got to be on there. All the way down at the bottom, Patrick Mahomes, 400-1 odds to win the American Century Championship.
He got the longest odds on the entire board.
The only people that have worse odds than him are old people. Sean Payton, Jim McMahon. Those are the only people that have longer odds on this list than our guy, Patrick Mahomes. Is it possible that Pat's bad at golf? Now, I've never seen Pat play golf before, aside from a video where he is at Top Golf and he's on the driving range. But if you're 400-1 odds in a golf tournament that Charles Barkley got invited to, is it fair to say that he's not good at golf?
The guy that you're talking about in high school that's good at everything, he wasn't actually good at everything. He was good at everything that you saw him do. But that doesn't mean that all aspects of his life were perfect. Kind of like, have you seen the video? So Pat's in Tahoe right now. Have you seen the video of him diving off the side of the boat?
I've not seen that.
It's not exactly Greg Louganis. It's not exactly a 10. Like, I think the judges would probably give him somewhere in the 4 or 5 range on his form. So he could certainly use some work for that. As far as golf goes, I would be surprised. So this is basically saying that all these celebrities are going to finish higher than Patrick Mahomes, except for two of them. Knowing Patrick Mahomes, I'd be very surprised if he doesn't, at worst, finish middle of the pack. Something like, he's not finishing third from the bottom, I guarantee you that.
I just can't imagine. Like, imagine you're Patrick Mahomes in this scenario, and you are one of the top 5 American athletes currently competing. And then you look at the odds, and Carlton from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, according to the odds makers, has a better chance of winning this golf tournament than you.
Well, he's got experience. Remember, he knocked in that big putt at the end with Uncle Phil for the club championship. Remember that?
Or Del Curry. Not Steph Curry. Not Seth Curry. Papa Curry. Del Curry has better odds than you. You got to feel offended in this thing. You got to feel offended that these people have significantly better odds. You talk about this clutch gene that Pat has. I hope that it can transfer onto the golf course, because Vegas says that he stinks.
Also, golf is one of those games that you get better with time, because over time you get a chance to play more, whether it's for leisure, for relaxing, for fun with the boys, fantasy football drafts, bachelor parties, charity events, whatever the reason is. And Pat is, how many, I want to know this, how many people in the field are younger than Pat? Because I'm not going to say that golf is an old man sport, but compared to football and basketball, there are a lot more 50-year-olds that can do it at a high level than 20 and 30-year-olds. So let's give Pat a little bit of, kind of like Joel Embiid. Is he ever going to win a championship? Let's give the 24-year-old a little bit of time to catch up with the rest of the golfers. Is that cool?
Well, right now,
by the way, I have a. Oh, he's a yeah,
like, right now he's in 62nd place and he's one stroke ahead of Larry the Cable Guy. So you can do all this dancing for your guy Pat. He stinks.
Is he really?
He stinks.
He's one ahead of Larry the Cable Guy.
He's one stroke ahead of Larry the Cable Guy. He's in 62nd place.
Out of how many?
I don't know.
That's
71, I think.
Okay, so there are nine people. That's unfathomable. That, first of all, you want to talk about a name we haven't heard in a long time. The hell is Larry the Cable Guy been up to? But, yeah, I figured that if I looked at both of those gentlemen and I had to pick one of them to be in my, you know, foursome, if I was going to be golfing with one of them, I think that I would probably take Patrick Mahomes over Larry.
Who else are you taking in your golf foursome?
I can take anybody I want. Let's see. I think I'm going to take – give me – so I'm in it, so I get three other people. I'll take – Joe Rogan, because I actually think that after the Dos Equis guy retired as the most interesting man in the world, the true answer to the most interesting man in the world has to be Joe Rogan. Think about the life that he's lived. I mean, he's a black belt. He is the color commentator for UFC. He was on Fear Factor. He's got the most successful podcast in the history of podcasts. Joe Rogan is a guy that I could spend 18 holes with. And I think he's the guy that I actually want to drive around the golf course with, like in the cart. Give me Tiger Woods, because I've only golfed with one golfer that was like a scratch golfer. If you're telling me that I could golf with the guy who's maybe the best golfer of all time, not named Jack, I want to see what that's like actually being on the course with him. So me, Tiger, Joe Rogan, and probably Conor and Conor McGregor. I don't know how good he would be. Something tells me he'd have to borrow my clubs and it'd probably be a lot of alcohol. It'd be a lot of fun. Give me, Tiger, Joe Rogan, and Conor McGregor.
So let me just, I just want to understand here. You got the opportunity to hang out with any three human beings that you want.
Yeah.
You're not picking women? You know who I'm picking in this? I'm picking one of my best friends, Rihanna and Joy Taylor. And to hell with the, we can take 9 hours. Everybody from the club can come yell at us for slow play. Lose as many balls as you want. I don't care. But we're going to spend the next 12 hours together out here. I mean, from the moment that Swope Memorial opens to the moment that we close, we're playing golf here. I'm not, if I can hang out with anybody, I ain't picking Joe Rogan to hang out with or Conor McGregor so they can tell me UFC stories. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm spending those 12 hours, and by the end of this golfing experience, either Rihanna or Joy Taylor are going to look at me in a favorable light. That's what I'm using. So I might, honestly, I might pick Joy Taylor, Rihanna, and I might pick Olivia Benson. That's going to be my dream foursome.
I think they'd
be. Not going to lie, I had the same thought. I wrote down Anna Kendrick and Chrissy Teigen and Screw the Fourth.
Yeah, what am I doing here in this scenario? You're telling me I can pick anybody in the world? I can pick anybody.
You guys are idiots.
And
I'm putting Anna Kendrick in the cart.
Golf
with Conor McGregor? I don't want to play golf with that man.
You're not spending a night with these people. You're not going on a date with these people.
I know, I'm
people.
Spending time with them.
Four hours is a date.
You're on
four
a golf a course. What good is it when you drive it 75 feet to the left and Rihanna drives it 150 feet to the right,
baby,
and you guys each take your cart in different directions?
That's not what we're doing. Baby, I'll help you. Hey, you know what? Let's play best ball here. I'm happy with whatever rules you want to play. I don't care. See, the thing is, I don't care about the golf in this scenario. You're trying to have the best golf game. I'm trying to work on a different kind of game. You know what I mean? That's what I'm trying to do in this scenario. No, I'm not trying to hang out. That's not where I want to hang out with Drake.
You understand that your chances go from, so you've never met either of these women, right? Joy Taylor or Rihanna?
No, never met them.
Your chances right now, because you've never met them, are zero.
Yes.
Even if you were on the golf course with these fine women, your chances, because I know you and love you and care about you and I've seen your game, go from zero to 0.00000001. So, yeah, just... I'd rather have a conversation with Joe Rogan and Conor McGregor than be able to tell people that I golfed 18 holes with Joy Taylor and never had any chance to hook up with her or spend another day with her. What's the point? I got a lot of good-looking girls in my life. It's fine. I'm going golfing with Joe Rogan and Tiger Woods.
Okay, yeah, no.
If you said I could go to the pool, if I'm going to spend the whole day at the beach with somebody, I'm not taking Tiger Woods. Now I'm talking about Rihanna. On the golf course,
yeah,
Tiger Woods.
Again, you and I are just, you and I want to accomplish. I don't care about having a good golf game in this scenario because I don't care about, I don't care if I shoot 95 or 105. I'm just out there for the exercise. I'm out there to have a good time.
It's about the strokes is what you're saying.
I don't know about all that, but I'm just telling you, if for the next 6 hours, if I could choose, I'm definitely not picking UFC fight stories from Joe Rogan. Rihanna, talk to me about this new album. That's what we need to talk about here.
Do you?
Let's talk about the kind of people that you spend time with and how I could be one of those people. That's what I want to spend my next 6 hours of playing golf
doing. Well, both you guys, good luck with those women that literally would not give you the time of day even if you were sharing a golf cart.
Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll talk about a monumental anniversary here on the show. But coming up, is there more pressure on KU to get a deal done with Wichita State now that K-State has? We'll discuss it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll celebrate a special anniversary. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. As two KU fans, let me guys ask you this question. Because my team has come to an agreement with KU, so I'm out of it. All I wanted to see was Missouri and Kansas play a basketball game again. They have played a game again. I think the deal is fair for both sides. No team has the advantage. It's a great thing. I'm happy. You will never hear me complain about it again. Do you think there's pressure on KU to come to an agreement with Wichita State now that K-State has? Because you remember, there was a time where Greg Marshall was going on SportsCenter. He was telling anybody that will listen, we want to play KU. KU doesn't want to play us. One team in the state has said, hey, we want to play them. Now you can sort of spin it with the coronavirus. Everybody's athletic department is going to lose some money. This is an easy layup for Kansas here. An easy layup. Play Wichita State, a game you should win, should be favored. We're not talking about the Wichita State of old. Do you think there's any pressure now on KU to come to an agreement with Wichita State in basketball?
Well, he who has the power is the one who gets to make the decisions, which is why if you talk about the agreement today, so K-State and Wichita State are going to get together. What is it, a six-year deal? Six-year mm-hmm. basketball deal? So they're going to get together and play hoops for 6 years. You could argue that, not even really an argument, Wichita State's the one with the power. The only thing that K-State does better than Wichita State over the last decade or 12 years when it comes to basketball is they play in a bigger conference. That's it. I mean, in that time, K-State's had 3 25-win seasons. Wichita State's had 9. Wichita State's been to Final Four. Wichita State was a 1 seed. Wichita State almost went undefeated. Wichita State has, I think, as many players in the NBA right now with Fred VanVleet. So Wichita State is as much a bigger boy than K-State. When it comes to Wichita State and KU, I think we all know who the big boy is in the room, and it's still KU. So they still hold all the cards, and nothing has changed. From Wichita State's perspective, it's great. Let's put Kansas on the schedule. Let's bring Kansas to Wichita once every 2 or 3 years. And then if we beat them, then it's a big deal, and everybody's talking about it. From KU's perspective, you're supposed to beat Wichita State, even though I think Wichita State, they're not on that Gonzaga level when it comes to the quote-unquote mid-majors, but they're right below. There's still not enough for KU to gain. The reason K-State made this deal is because I think they've actually got something to benefit. What really benefits KU, if you think about it, for scheduling Wichita State?
I don't really know if this is good for K-State. Like, that Wichita State that you're talking about, I think that was a 2014 thing. I don't think they're that program anymore. I don't think it's that sizzle. Yes, Greg Marshall is still there, but they're not a team that's competing for a 1 seed or a 2 seed here. Like, they're still a respectable program that should make the tournament year in, year out. But, man, they just had 7 players transfer this offseason. I don't know if the luster and allure is on Wichita State the way that it was a few years ago. Like, I don't really know, aside from money, what K-State really benefits in this deal. Now, as a college basketball fan, I'm happy that this happened. I am all for really entertaining, really engaging non-conference games. Too much about college basketball is, well, I don't care what happens early in the season. Let's just get to March. So the more exciting regular season game that you can play, I'm all for. But I'm just thinking about it. Aside from money, I don't really know how this helps K-State. Like, status-wise, this is not a coup for them. I don't really know if it's the same buzz in non-con beating Wichita State that it used to be. I don't really know the overwhelming advantages that they get in this other than keeping their donors happy, which is obviously big because they have donors in Wichita State and the financial ramifications of it.
Well, you're talking about Wichita State being down last year, and by the standards they've set, you're right. But they were still 23-8 and 11-7 in conference. K-State was down last year. Do I have to remind you what they were? 11-21, and wait for it, 3-15 in the Big 12. That's a 167 winning percentage if you like that kind of math. So, yeah, both teams last year were down. But if you look at the previous 10 years, and Wichita State, like I said, has four 30-win seasons, including a season where, and I get it, they were doing this in the MVC, not in the Big 12. They went 18-0, 17-1, 16-2, and 17-1 4 years in a row in conference. So that's a really good basketball program. And the one thing they have going for them, Greg Marshall doesn't appear to really want to leave. How many chances has he had to jump ship and go to a bigger, better Division I school, one of the Power Five programs? I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't think he's going anywhere either. I think some of the allure of Wichita State is gone. I'm not saying they're not a great program. They certainly are. But I don't know if they're that buzz program the way they were. And it's hard to keep it together. Like, let's not poo-poo what Gonzaga has done. For them to be dominant and a top 10 program in college basketball for the last 20 years is a tremendous accomplishment. And it's very difficult to do at a school like Wichita State. Like, VCU is probably the closest I would say to Gonzaga and what they've done over the last 10 to 12 years. They've been a consistent tournament team, continued to turn coaches, whether it was Shaka Smart or Will Wade that recently went to LSU. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by our next guest. His name is John Kurtz. He is based out of Manhattan in K-Man. John, appreciate you coming on. When I look at this agreement between K-State and Wichita State, I don't really think there's much of an advantage for K-State. I'm surprised they gave up as much leverage as they did. What do you make of the agreement between these two schools?
Yeah, I think that's the part that some K-State fans are wondering about today and having trouble reconciling. But to be honest, I'm not really all that surprised. The breakdown is you're going to have one game in Manhattan, one game in Kansas City, and then two there in Wichita. One is at Interest Bank Arena, which would technically be one of those sort of soft neutral site games. To be honest, I mean, Wichita State's been the better program over the last 10 years. They've been to a Final Four. They've been a one seed. They had that year where they were undefeated going into the NCAA tournament. And they also have another Sweet 16 run and have beaten Kansas in the NCAA tournament. They've just been a more high-profile program over the last 10 years, and it's really changed the dynamics of this series, where I think 5, 10, 15 years ago, you felt like, well, K-State has more to lose than to gain by playing that game because Wichita State is seen as an inferior mid-major program. And I almost scoff at the label mid-major for Wichita State these days. I mean, what they've done under Greg Marshall is turned themselves into one of the more relevant programs in college basketball. And even though K-State's had plenty of success and all fight for Bruce Weber most days, Wichita State has done more, accomplished more, and been a more relevant program. So to me, this looks like a somewhat on paper even split with the way the games are divided up. And I am actually excited for it as a media member and a K-State fan.
John, what made this agreement finally happen? Would you say that it was the coronavirus that now athletic departments are looking for a way to sort of create more revenue and generate more revenue, or do you think that it was just time for these two teams to play each other?
I think it was a combination of both. I think with a lot of things, it's something that had been sitting there for a while, and I would imagine that given the current circumstance, trying to figure out monetarily how to make things work and just having more time. I mean, everybody is freer, and that's when you start to get bored and thinking about what are we going to do here. I think that just afforded everybody more time and space to think about it and actually make this happen. But it's something that's been discussed for a while. I mean, Gene Taylor hasn't really shied away since he's taken over as the AD at K-State. He has not shied away from saying, hey, we would absolutely play this series. And there have been differing words on both sides of that with Wichita State's athletic director and Gene Taylor at K-State as to who was the reason for the series not actually happening. But I would guess, as is the case most times, it was a little column A, a little column B, and everything sprinkled in there together. It was the perfect storm. This is something that is exciting. It does get K-State a high-profile home game. The reasons that you go schedule games like this are to have some fun with the rivalry aspect, and that hits that check mark. And then on top of that, you give yourself a chance for a resume win. And the fact that it's a regional team and very close, it makes the travel easy. Playing KC and Wichita, which K-State makes a point to do every single year, it actually really does make a lot of sense.
You mentioned that for the last decade or so, Wichita State's probably had a better basketball program than Kansas State. It's pretty obvious that, again, for the last decade, it's gone KU 1 in the state of Kansas, KU 1, Wichita State 2, and then K-State 3. How big do you think that gap is, and how hard is it going to be to close it? I don't think K-State's ever going to catch KU, but how hard is it going to be to catch what Wichita State has been doing for a while?
Yeah, I think the gap is sizable, but not anything that's unsurmountable for K-State right now. Greg Marshall 2 years ago did have a down year, and there's been a bunch of transfers, and it seemed like a bit of program turmoil for him. So it does not feel quite as solid as it did maybe 3 years ago. But last year was a nice season for Wichita State, and they would have likely been an NCAA tournament team. So it looks like Greg Marshall has them back on track for now. But I think a lot of it depends on what happens with Greg Marshall and his future. Does he leave Wichita State? How long is he willing to stick around there? But you know, to be honest, I think K-State doesn't need to worry about it too much. I think really Wichita State is not all that relevant to what is going to happen with the success of K-State basketball. And that's a part of the reason that I'm all in on them playing this game. I don't think the conversation of, hey, we're going to start recruiting when you're going head-to-head with Wichita State, I just don't think that matters that much. I mean, there's some overlap in kids that they're recruiting. You do see it every now and then. Like K-State recruited Landry Shamet, for instance, a handful of years ago. And, of course, now he's in the NBA. But I don't think it happens enough, and I don't think it's the same as, say, someone you'd be competing with in your own conference. K-State's proven they can have success and win the league with Wichita State still as a good basketball program. So I just don't see it as a really relevant talking point as it relates to this game and the two programs.
That is John Kurtz out of Manhattan. He works at K-Man. He also does a great podcast on the 435 Podcast Network called Faithful to Our Colors. John, always good talking Wildcat sports with you, man. Thanks a lot for coming on today.
Yeah, anytime, guys. Thanks.
Again, I'm always happy to see exciting, entertaining non-conference basketball games. I'm just really surprised that K-State agreed to the type of deal that they agreed to. The one game that is in Wichita that's a neutral site, how can it be a neutral site if you're playing a game in Wichita against Wichita State? I'm just surprised at the parameters of the deal. We'll see how the money split and how the tickets and all that kind of stuff, and that certainly plays a major part in this, but it certainly appears that Wichita State is the bigger basketball program if you're just looking at the agreement between the two schools. Keep it locked in. We're going to try something different. Today is a monumental anniversary in sports. We'll celebrate it in a way that only The Drive can. It's coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive, we'll celebrate this anniversary coming up momentarily in Drive fashion. But, Rob, hit the breaking news sounder. Players who have been hit with the franchise tag are starting to sign the tenure and report to work. So, Shaquille Barrett, who plays for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he is signing his franchise tag tender today. We also saw Justin Simmons, who plays safety for the Denver Broncos. He also signed his earlier today. As of right now, there are only three players in the NFL who were placed with the franchise tag who have not signed it so far. One of those players is Chris Jones.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time. I could Chris Jones hold out this year? Last week, there was all the Le'Veon Bell did it text. Sure. Although Le'Veon Bell had like $16 million in his bank account, and Chris Jones hasn't even banked half that. So I don't think that he would actually do it. When it comes down to it, you always say deadlines make deals. And when it comes down to, okay, you can either play and make some money or not play at all and prove a point, I don't think he's going to choose the latter. So it is the longer that it gets, certainly as a Chiefs fan, the scarier that it gets and the more realistic that it gets that he could hold out. But I'll be very, very, I'm going to say it one more time, very surprised if Chris Jones doesn't play for the Chiefs next season.
So from now until 5 o'clock, we're going to do something very different that we don't normally do on the show. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we'll get to the top sports stories of the day in Kansas City. Today is the 75th birthday of one Hal McCray. Hal McCray was a great baseball player, one of the greatest in Royals history. He's in the Royals Hall of Fame. But there's part of me that will always remember Hal McCray, not for what he did on the field, but what he did off the field in this memorable post-game rant.
Brett for Miller with the bases loaded in the seventh.
No, don't ask me all these stupid ass questions. No.
And the all these stupid ass questions every night. Find the I hit Brett for
Miller started the game. He's playing against left-handed pitchers. Brett is not playing against left-handed pitchers. Why the I back for Miller? You think I'm a goddamn fool?
What's going on?
Yeah, people are trying to get away.
Stay out and ask all his dumbass questions. Stupid. Ask me that stupid ass shit every I'm not taking no shit off. You guys are not taking no shit off the players. I'm sick and tired. I'm fed up with everything. No shit from you guys. No shit from you players. And yet they can do any thing they want to do. I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit. Now, put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Sound like a rap song on the radio. I'm not exactly. There was a lot of beeps.
No, a whole lot of beeps. So that was Hal McCray. Today is his birthday. Happy birthday to Hal McCray.
Happy birthday, Hal.
Now, I don't know what the record for the Royals was at this time that he had this rant as the manager of the Kansas City Royals, but I'm going to, based on how mad he got for a very simple question, he and the team weren't doing very well.
I don't think they were awful. That's a crazy thing. Rob, see if you can figure that out. I'm not saying they were headed to the playoffs. I don't think they were as awful as you're making it out to be.
You're right. This could have been the strike year. I can't remember off the top of my head, but he got mad really quickly about a really easy question. Hey, what about this decision that you made in the game? He's like, I'm tired of this. That's typically the response of someone whose team is doing pretty bad. Typically. I could be wrong. You're right. So you know what I want to do over the next 20 minutes? I want to highlight some of my favorite post-game reactions to questions. These are all post-game reactions. This is probably the one that people remember the most. The late, great Denny Green.
We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bull? We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. They're who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
This is one of the post-game reactions that I remember had. This was the year that the Bears went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Indianapolis Colts. The Bears just kind of came out of nowhere. And they were playing a Monday night game against the Arizona Cardinals. And the Cardinals were up big late in the game. And then Devin Hester happened, and then that defense happened, like kind of what happened that entire year. And then the Bears had an improbable come from behind victory in front of the country. And then they cut live to Denny Green because Denny Green, as the head coach of the Cardinals, has to explain how did the team lose this. And then we got one of the greatest post-game press conferences and reactions of all times when they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
And one of the more important parts of this is kind of like Hal McCray. You can't get too physical. Like, you can't actually get up and slug somebody or slug a reporter or something like that, but there has to be something physical that happens. So I know that this is not the best medium because it's radio, it's not visual, but Hal McCray, he picked up a phone. Like, do you remember house phones? Remember when we used to have actual phones that were attached with a wire to the wall? He picked it up and he threw it. And the only reason I know is because it deflected. Then he picked it up again and he threw it again. And then it hit a reporter who ended up bleeding. I think that Denny Green, he did something very similar, which was you got to bang something or throw something.
You
like
do.
Yelling doesn't have quite the impact unless there's some sort of physical something backing it up. So I appreciate the pounding of the microphone.
I mean, real quick, back to Hal McCray. That was after an April Monday night loss to the Tigers. They moved to 7-12.
That was in April?
April loss on Monday night is phone throwing material.
Chill out a little bit. You're 19 games in the season, big dog.
I mean, to be fair, during that time, if you were the Royals manager, the 7-12 was really like a 100 and 350, because you never won. You never really got a respite from losing. It was basically 365, 24/7. The Royals were not good for 27 years of baseball.
Yes, but if you're going to be upset and freak out on an entire room of reporters,
you gotta wait till May or June to do this.
At least, I mean, if it's August, and that makes a lot of sense. Your team's been mathematically eliminated for 2.5 months. You just want to go hunting. You want it to be the summertime.
I mean, to be fair,
they were 19 games in.
I mean, to be fair, they were mathematically eliminated the day that the first umpire said play ball.
For sure.
It's not like the Royals in 1997. We were talking about a whole lot of hope for. You know what? This year the Royals could maybe make the playoffs. We knew very early on that they were basically ineligible for the playoffs for an entire decade.
There were 143 games left. It would be like me saying something stupid 2 minutes into the show, and you're like, well, this is the worst show that we've ever done, which might be accurate, but give it time, bro. He flipped out like that after 19 games, huh?
I cannot play with him. Cannot win with him. Cannot coach with him. Can't do it.
This is one of my favorite ones, too. Mike Singletary doesn't get nearly enough credit for this postseason rant. And I get it. He wasn't Herm Edwards. He wasn't Jim Moore, Denny Green. He did not have a great career. But do we remember anything else about Mike Singletary, the coach? Great linebacker, Hall of Fame linebacker, one of the 10 greatest linebackers of all time. Do we remember anything else about his head coaching career other than this?
I cannot play with him. Cannot win with him. Cannot coach with him. Can't do it.
He said that he'd rather play with 10 than play with 11 if everybody is not sold out for the team. Vernon Davis was such a malcontent that he'd rather be at a competitive disadvantage than to continue to move forward with Vernon Davis on the field. Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
How many other players on that team can you name besides Vernon Davis?
Like Alex Smith?
Any more?
Frank Gore?
Was he on that team?
Probably. He played forever.
I feel like that's not the guy you want to pick a fight with. That team wasn't all that talented, but the tight end certainly was. There's no question about that. The crazy thing about that is we were just talking about Hal McCray's rant. That was, I want to say, Mike Singletary's third game. He wasn't the coach for a very long time.
He knew decided, very early on that his team couldn't make the playoffs dog, too, the same been, way like Hal McCray.
Dog, it might have been his second game.
You know when your team is bad. Like, you know that.
Yeah, but it's cool for a coach to show their personality and to have one of these practice-type post-game press conferences. Give it time. Like, you can't do that the first day. You can't freak out the first week. If you're 19 games into the season and you're Hal McCray, it doesn't pull the same weight as it would if you were 100 games
in. I hear what you're saying, but Sean,
if you're Mike Singletary, let's give it a month before we say we're only going to play with 10 guys.
No, I get what you're saying, but you're a perfect person to say to ask this question to, you and Rob. You know when KU has one of those teams, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know going into it. Man, look at this guy. Look at this guy. This is a team that has a chance to win a championship. You don't got to see them play 19 games to know that KU has it, right?
Right.
In football, you also don't need too many games to know when it's not it, too. It's not like week 8 of the football season rolled around and then it magically hits you. You know what? Man, this KU football team might not be that good. You know. You know 3 games into the NFL season that your team has no chance. So you're hoping the only thing after you cursed at them at practice, you've had them do up downs, you've had them run suicides, you've done everything you can do. The only thing now you can do is publicly embarrass them by something like this.
I cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
My
point is that we agree the only thing we remember from Mike Singletary's NFL coaching career is this. And it was the second game that he ever coached. All I'm suggesting is, I don't know, have a little bit of success, get a season under your belt, maybe a month of football, and then make your mark, and then have that moment that everybody remembers. You can't do it your second time. He had one press conference as an NFL head coach. The media was just getting used to how he handles these things. And then he did that? Yeah, that wasn't going to last very long.
So let's continue on in our my favorite coach's reaction post-game. So today is the 75th birthday of Hal McCray. We played his post-game rant, if you missed it. This is a tried and true post-game reaction.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game. Another game.
The part that always gets kind of misremembered about that whole Jim Mora playoff press conference rant is the entire time he is blaming their quarterback. You want to know who their quarterback was? Peyton Manning. Like the part right before there when he says playoffs is, we cannot win if our quarterback throws 5 interceptions and 2 get returned for touchdowns. Like the part that has really stood off is the playoffs, and that's certainly an iconic part. The entire press conferences is condemning your rookie quarterback, Peyton Manning, that turned out to be really good. Shockingly enough, the Jim Moore experience with Peyton Manning didn't really work too much longer after that.
Yeah, usually we either raise our voice to get our point across or sometimes make our voice a whole lot higher. And that's what Jim Moore decided to do. That to me is what stands out from that one always. Like I've heard Jim Moore speak plenty of times. He's been in the media and all that stuff. That's not what he sounds like. He sounds like he got kicked in the jimmy right before he answered the question. Huh? What? Playoffs? I just hope we win a game. Playoffs? That's what I always remember about that one, is all of a sudden he turned into an 8-year-old girl.
I actually have a hot take to share with you.
Okay.
I don't think the Jim Mora playoff rant is his best rant. People forget this time. We remember Jim Mora that coached with the Indianapolis Colts and Coach Peyton Manning. We don't talk nearly enough about Jim Mora as the coach of the New Orleans Saints.
We couldn't do diddly poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. We the second half, we couldn't stop the run. Every time they got the ball, they went down and got points. We got our totally kicked in the second half.
I just want to go through everything that he said.
See, that's what he sounds like. That's the tone of Jim Mora's voice. Not playoffs. We can't win a game.
I just want to go through what he said. He said we couldn't get a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. We couldn't stop them from running. We couldn't score. We couldn't stop them from scoring when they had the ball because they scored every time they had it. Is there anything else that you could potentially miss in football? Maybe the only thing he missed is, well, we couldn't kick the ball. But basically everything else that you can break down in describing football to somebody who has never seen it before, and this is their first time watching it. We couldn't run. We couldn't throw. We couldn't defend. In 18 seconds, he perfectly summarized the game of football.
The craziest thing is, I'm looking up right now, his team won that game. No, they didn't. They lost 35-6. They got their asses whooped.
We couldn't do diddly poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. The second half, we couldn't stop the run. Every time they got the ball, they went down and got points. We got our totally kicked in the second half.
That one's better than the playoff rant. I know the playoff rant has been tried and true. The diddly poo one is better. I think this is one of your favorites, certainly a local favorite. You guys remember Herm?
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
I just want to point out in this whole rant, he's talking about a preseason football game. This is not a week 7.
No
week
way. 8.
This rant, Rob, you cut this. This is from an August preseason game when he says this, hello, you play to win the game. It is an August preseason game.
If you're
game.
Right, then that changes everything that I've always thought about this quote.
I'm telling you,
are you 100% sure?
I am 98.7%.
Rob, you're just
this
sitting
is
there.
A preseason football
game. Get that other
2%, game.
And because if it was a preseason football game, then the question makes all the sense in the world.
I know, that's why they asked the question.
You play to win the game.
All right. This changes everything.
Hello? You play to win the game.
I've seen a lot of preseason games. They're not playing to win.
Right. You don't play to win the game.
They don't.
Like, I always thought that this was a great answer because it was a simple answer. It was a direct answer, and damn it, it was the right answer. Like, I couldn't imagine what question was asked to Herm Edwards.
By the way, it was not a preseason game.
It wasn't?
It was October 30th. Okay. The Jets were 2-5 at the time.
I knew you were pulling
they
that
had
out
just lost
by my
the Browns.
I thought
the question
game.
He was asked, he goes, your team is 2-5. You have to talk to your team in the locker room about not giving up this season, and that's when he took
Thank
off.
You, Rob.
I was wrong. I was out here spreading fake
you
news.
You were, because that was going to impact.
To be honest, though, my story was better than you guys'
Way
story.
Better.
My story was better.
It was going to change everything I always thought. I was going to rehire Herm. I was going to apologize to him. I was going to bring him back. Like, I've always thought, because that quote is just so direct and to the point. You play to win the game. So the fact that his team was 2-5 and they asked him a question in the post-game press conference and he responded with that makes a lot of sense. If he would have said that in a preseason game, I would have had some more questions.
Herm, you know what? I want to apologize to you. I was wrong here. This is actually a sleeper. This is actually one of your favorite press conferences. We don't know the name of the coach. We don't know where the coach come from, but I know you love this one.
I turn and look. There's a little kitty cat in our kitchen. So I said, what are you doing in here, little kitty cat? By that time, the cat turns, tries to get back out. That screen won't go that way. Cat starts going, meow, all crazy. And I told our players, we need more dogs. Bo's barking in the back. I have to go shut Bo up. Mel's like, what's going on? I said, it's a cat in the house. Cat in the house? I said, yeah, there's a cat in the house. So I told our players, I tried to let it out the front door. Meow, meow. The cat's still going crazy in there. And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Meow, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
We need more dogs.
We need more dogs.
We definitely need more dogs. That's true.
By the way,
nobody likes cats. They're terrible.
I do know who that was because I love that rant so much. That was former Coastal Carolina Chanticleer's head football coach, Dave Bennett.
He said that they need more dogs.
He said that they need more dogs. And
they have way too many cats.
Yeah, you don't need cats. And I've always been more of a dog person. So when I heard that, I thought that makes all the sense in the world. We don't need more cats. We need more dogs. We need more dogs.
This is a personal favorite of Rob's.
How does Yale out-rebound Baylor?
You go up and grab the ball off the rim when it comes off. And then you grab it with two hands. And you come down with it. And that's considered a rebound. So they got more of those than we did.
I always enjoy a good smartass. I was at the well the other day, and I probably shouldn't have done this because COVID's going on, but when you ever been to the well in Waldo?
I have.
So when you walk in right now, I'm sure this is COVID-related, you have to, like, write your name down. They ask you if you're with a group of people, and I was at a bachelor party a couple of weeks ago, so I walk in, and I get upstairs. Have you ever been up to the top part?
I have.
So I get outside, and this guy who works there, he's sweating me, comes up to me, he's like, how'd you get up here? And he was looking for an answer. Like, he wanted me to point to, this is who brought me up here. And my answer was, oh, I started with my left leg, then my right, then my left, then my right. And he was like, no, I'm asking you, who brought you up here? So I don't mind somebody being a smartass every now and again.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. I think you both will appreciate this rant. I'll let it just go ahead and send us to break as we end this segment. This one, kind of like the Coastal Carolina coach, a very underrated post-game press conference that should get held in much higher regard than it does.
Our guards were awful. Our three starting guards had one assist and seven turnovers. They must think it's a tax credit. It's unbelievable how our starting guards play. And let's talk about our big guys. 2 for 11. How can you go 2 for 11? My wife can score more than 2 buckets on 11 shots because I know my wife will at least shot fake one time. But those guys aren't listening. They're uncoachable right now. I got a bunch of mama's boys right now, and we just won't buck up and bow our necks, and we got to get through that. I'm tired of coaching a guy and having him roll his eyes or put his head down or feel sorry for himself. I'm tired of that. I mean, this is big time. You know, people lose their jobs. You know, they don't put their head down. They go get another job. I mean, you saw how we turned the ball over. We made 3 turnovers tonight where we just came down and threw them the ball. I swear, I thought one time that one of our players said Merry Christmas. I thought it was a gift. I thought they signed the package over. But I got to get to the point is that every time they don't do something what we want to do in practice, we just put them on the treadmill or push-ups. We've done that a little bit, but we'll just be more consistent with it. To me, when you've got a young team, it's a lot like house training a puppy dog. You know what? When the dog does something wrong, bad dog. Well, you know, I'm not going to hit him. I'm not going to swat him, but bad dog. Get on the treadmill. There was a sniper in the gym. Can you see that? I mean, we had guys falling down. I mean, we had a guy snipered at half court. 2 guys snipered at half court. It was unbelievable. I thought Navy SEAL Team 6 was out there. I mean, our guys were coming across it. I mean, just nobody around them and just fell down on the ground. How does that happen? And we had a saying at Kansas, sniper.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.